And we ask God's blessing upon your time together and ours as well as we open our copy of God's Word to the book of Philippians. And this morning we'll finish chapter 3 in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, is where we'll be. You know, Paul has placed a lot of emphasis on the kind of character that is crucial to the Christian life and the kind of examples that we have set before us. If you'll remember, he's already talked about Timothy and Epaphroditus and these two godly men. And this morning, in the verses we're going to look at, he kind of gives us a little bit more guidance in that direction on who are the kind of people that we're to follow. Because let's be real for just a moment. It doesn't matter how independent we think we are, or how I'm my own person I think I am. Bottom line is, every one of us watch somebody in our lives. Every one of us, we follow somebody. We look up to somebody. And we're seeing what other people do around us, and we're influenced by it. And I would say it's a fair statement to say you cannot avoid that. And so really this morning, it's not a matter of if we follow other people, these are the kind of people we should follow. It's really a matter of who or what kind of people are we following? Are we emulating? Are we letting influence our lives? Are we letting poor direction into our lives? Now, don't get me wrong. Scripture is not primarily about following good examples. You know, Jesus didn't come just to be our good moral example. Paul wasn't trying to be just a good example to other people that as he was traveling around. Scripture is primarily about showing us a Savior who is worthy of our surrender. That's primary. That's key. But the Christian life can never be lived apart from other people. That's why we gather corporately. That's why we're called a church family. That's why the author of Hebrews says, don't forsake meeting together as some have. It's not good for us. We need other people to help sharpen us, to help walk this life with us. And so who we follow or allow to become our example is very important. I'm always amazed in kind of the history of Christianity, or maybe so-called Christianity, how some people gain the following that they do. I can remember a seminar that I was taking several years ago on really new religious movements in America. And those of you who are old enough to have lived through like the 60s and the 70s, you're like, man, that was like the heyday of craziness and religious movements in this country. And one kind of culminated or really ended at the time I was being born, just a month after I was born. But back in the 1950s to the 1970s, there was a man, you're probably well aware of his name. His name was Jim Jones. And, you know, he gained quite a following. People were watching him. People were following him. He was, in fact, an ordained minister in several different denominations. But he was an ordained minister, and what he would do is he would mix social gospel, and he mixed communist propaganda, and he mixed some weird ideas from other religious beliefs, and he brought it all together in this weird nonsense that he was leading. But people followed him. He was charismatic. People followed him. First, it was in Indiana. Did you know we started out just right here to our north in Indiana? And then they followed him all the way to California. And then over 1,000 people followed him to the country of Guyana in South America in 1978. And it was on November 17th, 1978, that 913 individuals continued to follow him into drinking the poison-laced Flavor-Aid that he had prepared for them, and they committed this mass suicide. I think it's fair to say this morning that there's probably not a person here, if we were like looking back and we could point our finger at people like Jim Jones and say, I would never follow anybody like that. That's crazy, right? But you know what? The false teachers today and the people who are gathering these followings, they're a little more subtle. The other day I was listening to a video, or I guess watching a video clip of a well-known prosperity gospel preacher. And I was amazed by all the people in the audience who were amening as he was deceptively teaching them how they can manipulate God into answering their prayers. And he said, and for people who tell you otherwise, they just don't know their Bible. And I thought, there's all kinds of people watching him on TV, all kinds of people sitting there in the audience, and they're saying, amen, amen. It matters who we follow. Who are you listening to? Who are you imitating today? What friends are in your life? Who is it that you're watching? I think our passage has an important word for us with regard to this subject this morning. Look with me in the text here in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this: "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Would you pray with me? Father, we confess that this is your word this morning. And more than we need to hear my words, Father, we need to hear your words. And so I pray that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit. And Father, do a work of your transforming miracle, your transforming work in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the previous passage, Paul has just told the Philippian church that they need to keep pressing on, right? That he's been pressing on, and the thing that he's been doing is he's been following after Jesus as hard as he can. He says, "I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be perfect in this life, but I'm pressing on to know Jesus." And what he says is, and here's what I'm doing. He says, I have this one thing in my life. Now, most of us, we try to juggle all sorts of things in our life. Paul says, no. I've got one thing in my life. One thing that I'm holding on to. One thing that I'm pursuing with everything that is in me. And here's what he says it is. It is to know Christ. To know Christ more. To follow him more faithfully. And then he gets down to our passage and he encourages the believers to follow after Christ. And one of the ways that we follow after Christ is by having godly examples in our life. So what kind of people are these that Paul is talking about? Well, here's how I want to talk about it this morning. First, I want us to see the kind of people we should follow. The kind of people we should follow, that Paul kind of describes them a little bit for us. I think verse 17 has to be one of the boldest statements in all of Scripture. I mean, could you imagine if I asked you this morning, how many of you would be willing to make a statement like Paul does at the beginning of verse 17? Who could do it, right? He says, brothers, he's talking about all the believers, right? He says, join in imitating me. Anybody want to be that example for the church? Any volunteers here this morning? Just join in imitating me. Y'all follow me, you're going to be looking more like Jesus next week, next year. It's not that simple, is it? It's a bold statement. Then he says after that in verse 17, keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. I think he's referring to Timothy and Epaphroditus and some other faithful brothers who have been walking with him. Now, don't misunderstand. Paul knows he's not perfect. He doesn't walk, Timothy, Epaphroditus, they don't walk in sinlessness, but they do walk after Jesus. They do seek to be faithful to Jesus. He aims to be someone who is trustworthy that others can follow. And so to imitate Paul is to focus on that one thing that he says in verse 13. It's to press on to know Christ more. Not perfectly, but persistently. Never going to be perfect, but persistently going after Jesus. So to imitate Paul is to strive to imitate Christ. Now, as bold as this statement is, do you know this is not the first time Paul has said something like this? I went back and looked, and there are like four or five different examples where he says something similar, and perhaps you see his heart most clearly in 1 Corinthians 11:1, where Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Now that's what it really boils down to, isn't it? Don't just be imitators of me because I think I'm cooler than you are. Don't imitate me because I think I just know more than you do. Or because, you know, I know the better path. I know how to avoid all the pitfalls in life. Paul says, imitate me because I'm going to be imitating Jesus. And so if you need an earthly example, if you want to follow somebody that you can lay your eyes on, you can imitate me because I'm going to be chasing hard after Jesus. So let me make two points of application that I think work here about examples and followers. The first is this: follow those who point you to Jesus. If you want to know who to follow, follow those who point you to Jesus. I was jealous of a friend this past weekend who was showing me pictures of his recent hunting trip out in Colorado, where he dropped a big bull elk, and just kind of had me all kinds of jealous. And so I was looking online at, you know, those big game outfitters and guides in Colorado, and I thought, just what does that cost to do that? It's way out of my price range, just for the record. But I was looking at the website of this big game guide and outfitter, is what it was called, in Colorado. Now, it's big business out there. And it has to be big business because of the rugged terrain and the mountains and all. I mean, you can get lost, you can get hurt out there. So the website encouraged following a guide if you're planning to hunt out in the mountains of Colorado. Now, why did they say that? Well, the website said this: a guide can serve as your expert on local game as well as the landscape and weather conditions. So basically, here's the point. These guides, they know where they're going. They've been over the terrain many, many times. They know where the problem spots are, right? They know where people are most likely to get into danger. They know how the weather can change on a dime out in Colorado. I've been there. I've experienced that in shorts when it just came snowing on us in the middle of July. What's that all about? At least that doesn't happen in Kentucky, right? But they know all about this. They know how that they have vast experience in all that you will encounter. And they'll be able to point you to the goal because they know where it is. If you're there to hunt big game, they'll be able to point you to the goal. And I thought, you know what? This is what these godly examples are in our life. They point us to the goal. They know they're following hard after Jesus. They kind of serve as that guide for us. Make sure you're following somebody who's spiritually mature. Somebody who has that experience in following Jesus. They've navigated the mountains and the valleys of this life. They know what it's like to walk on the mountain with Jesus and not become prideful and think we've arrived somehow. And they know what it's like to go through the valley like King David did and know how God walks with you through the valley. They've experienced those sort of things. And again, they'll be able to point you to the goal. Now, don't misunderstand me. These examples in the faith, they're not a substitute for the Word of God or the Spirit of God. They're not higher up on our list than the Word of God or the Spirit of God, but God has given us brothers and sisters in Christ to be those examples for us. So follow those who point you to Jesus. But also, let me say this. Point to Jesus, those who follow you. This isn't just about following other people. This is about people who are watching you, who you're an example for. Point to Jesus, those who are following you. Become the kind of Christian others can imitate. Because when they imitate us, they should be seeing Jesus a little more clearly. They should be getting closer to Jesus. Now, again, we're not going to follow after Jesus perfectly, but we're striving to persistently, are we not? Be the kind of person others can follow. We all need Christians in our life who are further down the road of sanctification. Be that example in other people's lives. Paul talks about those who have, whom we set our eyes on. Hey, listen, people are setting their eyes on you, whether you want them to or not. I remember the old commercial years ago, Charles Barkley says, "I'm not a role model." And basically the world said, doesn't matter what you think. People are watching you, and they see you, and they're following your example. Christian, I don't want to be an example. I don't want anybody to imitate me. Doesn't matter. They are, the good and the bad. They see us. They're following us. Make sure those you imitate are pointing you to Jesus because they're imitating Jesus. But make sure the people who are following you are being pointed to Jesus as well. Let them see you worshiping. Let them see you praying for other people. Let them see you giving sacrificially to support the ministry that God has called us to in the church. Let them see you being a quick repenter when we sin. Let them see you resisting temptation and fleeing from it. Let them see you loving those who are hard to love. This will set an example. This will point to Jesus, those who are following us. This is the kind of person Paul says we should be following, that we should be imitating. But he spends a little bit more time talking about the kind of people we should avoid. Secondly, the kind of people we should avoid. Paul told the Philippians in verse 18, this is not the first time I warned you about these people. These kind of people are everywhere, and it's kind of subtle, right? And Paul says, it breaks my heart to have to mention it again. It breaks my heart every time I bring these people up. Look in verse 18. He tells us who these are, kind of in broad description. He says, for many, and not just a few, for many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears. Why is he in tears? Because they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. They walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. In other words, they claim to be followers of Jesus, and yet their walk shows something very different. It shows a different kind of life. Paul's heart breaks for them because they think they're Christians, but they're not. The fruit just doesn't bear it out. Their beliefs just don't bear out what Scripture teaches. And it matters. But Paul says, don't imitate them. They're enemies of the cross. Now, let's not misunderstand Paul. Paul isn't saying ignore these people. He's not saying don't spend any time with these sort of people, because surely we must share the gospel with them. We should be calling them to repentance and faith. But what Paul is saying is don't follow them. They shouldn't be part of that inner circle of your closest friends who are influencing you on a day in and day out basis. So Paul describes these kind of people that we should avoid in four ways in verse 19. The first thing he says is they're on the path to eternal judgment. They don't know it yet. They think they're following Jesus, but they're on the path to eternal judgment, right? So the godly, they set knowing Christ as their goal. And even though these people don't know it, they've set destruction as their goal. Because they've rejected what Scripture has taught, and they've tried to follow their own way. And listen, here's the danger about people like this. They'll encourage you in the same way. They may claim to know Christ, but listen, it's not according to Scripture. Paul says avoid such people. Avoid them. They're on the path to eternal judgment. He also says they chase the idols of their fleshly appetites. How many people do we see around us who are doing the exact same thing? Verse 19, Paul says their God is their belly. Now, I mean, you're going to be thinking about that when you go to lunch today, probably. But he's not talking about, you know, their God is that burrito that's going to be waiting on them at lunch today. Paul's talking about fleshly appetites, those fleshly desires that we have. He says, avoid such people because they're not going to encourage you to follow Jesus. They'll encourage you to bow down to the idols that your heart desperately wants in the flesh anyway. We're tempted in those ways. We want these things apart from the Spirit of God working in us. And listen, if you're like me this morning, you don't need any more help. I don't need any more help with being tempted. I don't need any more help with materialism or with self-centeredness. I've got that on my own. I don't need people in my life who are encouraging me that direction. Paul says they chase the idols of their own fleshly appetites. We need people in our lives who will call us on those things, who will point them out and say, brother, sister, this isn't what Christ has for you. This isn't why he called you out of darkness into the light. They chase the idols. Thirdly, he says they become numb to what should bring them shame. Church, this is the slippery slope of sin, right? This is what happens in verse 19. Initially, their ungodly acts might bring shame. You know, they get caught in sin. They're like, oh, I feel so bad. I feel so much shame about this sin. But you know what happens after a while when you continue in that sin? You quit having shame. And you start to glory in it. And you start to make light of those sort of things and say, you know what, it's really no big deal. And if I can just convince myself that it's no big deal, I'll feel better about it. The shame will go away. We'll start glorying in it. And if I can convince you to glory in it as well, then I'm going to feel even better. That's the danger of sin when we persist in it. They glory in their shame. They begin to not repent of sin, but they begin to make excuses for their sin. That's not what the Bible really teaches. Or they'll say, you know, that part of Scripture just doesn't apply anymore, especially when it's related to my pet sin. Or they'll say, you know, my mistakes aren't as bad as you might think. It's no big deal. God understands. Well, he does understand, and that's why Jesus went to the cross. He understands that it is rebellion against the Creator. He understands that it deserves the full wrath of the holy God of Scripture. God understands, and he calls us to repent and believe. If we spend too much time with these people who glory in their shame, keep our eyes on them, we'll start excusing our sin. And when we excuse our sin, we'll start glorying in what ought to bring us shame. They become numb to what should bring them shame. And then Paul says they're worldly minded instead of heavenly minded. Their thoughts, their heart, their focus is completely set on this world. Now, Scripture has commanded us, we've seen it in the last couple of weeks, to pursue the mind of Christ. But these people, according to verse 19, they have their minds set on earthly things. This doesn't mean you can't enjoy the creation around us. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy anything that God has provided for us, but their minds are set on these things. They're committed to these things. They've given over their heart to these things. In church, we're to avoid people like this because Paul calls them enemies of the cross. They claim Jesus, but their mind and their heart is consumed with the world. Earthly possessions, earthly pleasures, earthly prestige. If we keep our eyes on those who walk in this way, we'll begin to walk in this way as well. And we shouldn't think otherwise. Church, we don't avoid the wandering lost around us. We know there are lost people all around us. They need Jesus. We should be sharing the gospel with them. But we must be oh so careful about those who claim Christ, who claim to know Jesus, to believe in Jesus, but they live an unbelieving, unbiblical lifestyle. We must be careful. They're dangerous to us if we let them into our inner circle. They need the gospel over and over, just like we do. Daily, preach the gospel to ourselves so that we'll go out and live a God-glorifying life. These are the kind of people we should avoid. We've seen those we should follow, those we should avoid, but why the big distinction? Well, he gives us a couple of reasons here. Let's look at the reasons we should make a distinction. Now, if we're merely living for this life, maybe we don't make a big deal about who our mentors are. Maybe it doesn't really matter who we follow, who the examples are in our life. But Paul makes it clear in verses 20 and 21 that Christ followers, they have a different focus than the world. They have different goals than the world. They have different desires than the world. Not of ourselves, but because of the Spirit working in us. We're just different. Now, when I lived in East Asia, you all know that we lived there for several years. It was Very easy for me to go about drawing a crowd, right? Now, not because I was like singing and dancing for them or juggling or performing in some way. That's not what drew the crowd. Trust me, that would cause people to flee in a hurry. But I could draw a crowd. I've had crowds over 100 people in a matter of seconds just come and surround me out in the villages in East Asia. And if you ask me why were they following you, and they just followed me all through the little town, followed me into the town square. Listen, the reason I drew crowds is because I looked different, I talked different, I dressed different, and I acted different. Bottom line, I was very different than they were. That's why I drew the crowd. That's why people were coming to look. They're like, can this guy really speak our language? I mean, look at the kind of clothes he's wearing. They just thought, this is like some freak show. You know, you can't stop watching a freak show, right? That was me, all right? I was the freak show out there. People wanted to see it. I was different. The differences were quickly and obviously noticeable. And the people knew immediately, there's something very different about this guy. And so they want to come find out. They want to know what's different. What is so distinct about this person? Listen, similarly, we should recognize, quickly, readily, obviously recognize the distinctions between followers of Christ and followers of the world. I mean, it should be that obvious that we don't belong here. They knew I don't belong there. I didn't live around there. This is a guy who's different. And so here are three distinctions that Paul makes in verses 20 through 21. First, he says, listen, we're members of a different kingdom. We're members of a different kingdom. Verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. We live in this world, yes, but we're merely sojourners in this world. We're passing through. This isn't our home. Paul says, I've got temporary citizenship. He was a citizen of Rome, the greatest empire on the earth. But he says, my citizenship belongs to a greater king, belongs in heaven. The world lives as if this is all that there is. We're anticipating something much more than that. We're members of a different kingdom. We're on this earth, and while we're here, we should be distinct people. The church ought to be the ones who are showing compassion to the needy and the helpless. Have you seen how much it's been in the news? How the churches and even our Baptist disaster relief, they're like first on the scenes out there in the Carolinas helping with the aid. That should be the case. Oh, that some of us would get involved in helping those in need and those who are helpless. The church should be those who are showing sacrificial love to others. We should be the ones on the front lines fighting against racism and social injustice of all kinds, because if it doesn't take place in heaven, it shouldn't be taking place here. We're citizens of heaven. Let's show them a better way. Let's show them the way of Christ. It should be obvious that our eyes are set on heaven. We're members of a different kingdom. Then he says, we're living for the Lord's return. The world lives for the moment, for this life. Christians live for the reign and the rule and the return of Christ. The world lives as if this world is all that there is, and we're anticipating something greater. We're awaiting a Savior. A Savior whom one day, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 told us, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. We know this to be true. We know this to be true. Let's live as if it's true today. We're awaiting the Lord's return. Church, keep your eyes on those who are pressing on toward that day. Pressing on toward Jesus, anticipating His return. And listen, be someone that other people look at and they know they're waiting for Jesus, and they're going to serve Him while they're waiting. We're living for the Lord's return. And then the third distinction is, we're expecting transformation. We don't live like the world because we're expecting transformation. When our Savior comes, verse 21 reminds us there at the very end, he says, He will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by a power that we can't even imagine yet. But He's going to transform us. Transform us fully, transform us wholly. Church, we don't follow the world or live like the world because we're expecting transformation from the world. We're going to be different. We're going to live different. We're going to look different. We're going to act different. This just isn't it for us. This world is not all that there is for us. It's not all that we hope for in life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." You see, we're awaiting that final glorification. We're awaiting that final transformation. But in the meantime, the Spirit of God is transforming us little by little, day by day, year by year, conforming us into the image of Jesus. Paul says we're going to be different as followers of Jesus. That's why other people can look at us and imitate our lifestyle, because we're getting closer to Jesus every day. And we need people in our life who are further down the road, who are closer to Jesus, and we're watching. We're keeping our eyes on Him, because we want to be like Jesus. Church, in this life, there are going to be all kinds of people. There are going to be all kinds of things, but especially all kinds of people who are going to call for our attention, who are going to try to take our gaze and place it squarely on themselves. But let's be sure that we're following those who consistently point us to Jesus. We want to give the gospel to everyone. We want to give the gospel to the lost, to those who are still enemies of the cross, but we don't want to follow their example. And let's always remember, we're a distinct people. We're citizens of heaven who are waiting for our King, who's going to make us like Him. And I wonder this morning, there may be someone here, I wonder this morning, do you know this King yet? Do you know King Jesus yet? Not just intellectually, not just in your minds, but do you know Him yet as Savior and as Lord of your life? Do you know Him today to the point that you're willing to surrender everything to Him? You're ready to repent, turn away from sin, and say, "I'll give my life to be one of those distinct people who are pressing on hard after Jesus." If that's you this morning, and you're not for sure that you're following after Jesus, we're going to have a time of invitation here in just a moment. I'm going to pray. Clay's going to come lead us in a closing song. Crystal's going to come lead us in a closing song. And this is an opportunity for you to do business with the Lord. Maybe you just need to pray where you are. Maybe you need to come down, bring somebody with you to pray with. Maybe you need to come pray with me. I'll be at the front, and I would love to talk to you. Let's press on in following Jesus and following those who are following Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, this morning we are challenged by Your Word, as hopefully we are every time we encounter it. Our desire is to be more like You, and we know that You have put saints in our lives who are further down that road. They've been walking with You, they've experienced more, they know the pitfalls ahead. And Father, help us to follow their example. And Lord, help us to be people who will be mentors and examples to others who are watching us. Father, we thank You for Jesus, and it's because of Him that we gather here this morning. I pray that if there's anyone who does not yet know Jesus in a saving way, that this might be the day of their salvation. We commit this time of invitation to You in Jesus' name. Amen.